Sam, do you want to play us in?
Dude, I got the soulful Please. Tunes.
Okay.
With this deep baritone acoustic guitar.
Play us in with that souls. Brand new baritone.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Get some of those vibes.
Somebody's finger picking has gotten better.
Ooh.
Sam paid the debt he owed him.
That's right.
He's still a branded man. Hey, I got a bit.
Do you?
Yeah. We can officially start the podcast.
That's
after
a great
my
way
bit.
To start a bit is to introduce it as a bit.
So for the last month, I've been to 16 states. In the country, and by RV, SUV, etc. And one thing you do when you're on road trips is you stop, you check your tire pressure, especially yeah, when sure. you're in like a large RV with high pressure in the tires. Because if the pressure gets too low, the tires can blow. Same thing if they get too high.
That's what they say.
So you got to keep them right in the middle, right? So we're going to keep an eye on them. So I was doing that on this 3,000-mile road trip that we were going on, and I found that there's something very particular about gas station air pumps now.
Mm.
They all, really? Almost all, have computer chips in them now. They're not the vending machine style, where you just put in the quarter, and then the pump kicks on, mm-hmm. and it kicks on for like 3 minutes, and
sure.
then gives you the pressure. And you can pump however much air you want into your tire.
Mm-hmm.
No, now they have these deals where you tell the computer on the box what you want your air pressure to be. And then it checks what your air pressure is currently at. And then it goes, tss, 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 and it does this automated process to get you the exact air pressure that it needs. But now this sounds great. Right? It sounds great.
Sounds
so far,
fantastic.
So good.
Right.
So far,
so good. Man, air pressure.
But the
technology.
Law of Occam's razor creates such that you're just adding more complexity to something that already worked. And so the first problem that I ran into is I was in a 29-foot SUV or 29-foot RV, which has semi-truck tires on it.
Mm.
Now, these semi-truck tires have really high air pressure.
Oh, yeah.
And,
so high.
And you can't get the air pressure on these automated deals higher than 80. Because it's like a liability thing now because they added a chip and now it's doing the work that the human was supposed to do. Now you can't, it won't let you pump pressure higher than 80 because it's like, well, why would you ever need higher than 80 pressure on your tires? The tire is going to explode. That could be dangerous. It could kill somebody. We could be liable.
Wow.
So now you can't do that. And then of course, like only half of them work.
as those machines normally.
As those machines normally do. But
pretty standard.
Yeah. And then, so, and then you have to like set the thing and then it tells it instead of the gauge, right? The little gauge you press and then the thing slides out and it tells you the tire pressure. Now it's like, no, I'll tell you when I'm at 35 PSI. And then so you fill up your tire thinking that it's at 35 or 40 PSI or whatever. And then you get in your car or you check it with the actual gauge and it's not at that. And so, yeah, just one of those things. Like, I'm not a Luddite. I'm all about like, you know, the useful advancement of technology for the sake of humanity. But like, was that one of the things we need? Like, is that actual progress? Do we need to have computer chips in air pumps at gas stations? Or are people not capable of just like going, my tires needs to be 40 PSI. Psst, check. Psst, check. Okay, it's at 40.
It's like right there in your hand, not 10 feet behind you.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah. let us tell you when the tire's full. It's like, no, that's the human's job. It worked all along. Why are we reinventing this? This is so unnecessary and costly, and it breaks more often.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could apply the same principle to like, you know, editing film back in the day.
No, because
when
that's
they
super
had to
slow
just
and
chop
cumbersome.
It with their scissors or
no,
whatever.
No, that's way different. That's way different.
It's the same thing, I
no,
think.
No, because
it's
cutting film is so laborious and unnecessary. This requires the same amount of labor. It's no quicker than it was before. It's certainly not as quick as transitioning from film to digital.
Uh-huh.
No way. No.
No.
Right. Well, but you know what? The one thing.
It's just one of those things. Cutting like real film.
Okay, bringing it back to film now.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Since we are filmmakers.
Sorry, this is just. No. And if I look grimy, look, if I apologize for my grimy appearance, I've been playing.
Yeah, you do.
This workshop,
you're dirty.
Okay, they're warehouse. Listening to this anyways. Okay,
yeah, they can't.
You never can apologize hear the dirt. For how you look on a podcast.
That's funny. Well, that sounds frustrating, but I'm sure everything else was great.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things, you know? It was just like I was telling Wendy that I was going to rant about it on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. So oh, yeah. Now, absolutely. Yeah.
I also learned something.
Don't get me started on those gas pumps.
Dude, don't like, get me started
don't
on
me
gas pumps,
when my
pumps,
tank
man.
Is full.
I'll tell you.
I'll stop.
No, the tank filling thing is totally fine. Though I used to have to do that with that 67 truck. It doesn't have a gasket. It doesn't like snap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's done, so you have to watch it. Just you do that on motorcycles, too.
Mm. Yeah. Get a little flashlight
out. Peek in
out.
There. Yeah, you just peek in there. Yeah, we'll let the foam bubble up, coming back down, give it a few
like,
more.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah. Hey.
Like soda added.
You dig a little spoon out restaurant. And swish a little bit extra out if it feels
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I also learned on an RV trip that apparently you can only go to like $125 or $150 worth of gas when you're pumping an RV.
Oh, yeah. So that depends on the gas station. I learned about this,
yeah,
too.
I didn't even know that this, it depends on the gas station because we only ended up at gas stations where it had a limit.
Right.
And we thought we were filling our tank all the way and then we get out of there and we're like, wait, this is only half full. Is the gauge
so
broken?
So I stopped at a town.
So
and
you gotta, what's the deal you, with you, this? You got to fill it up and then drive forwards.
Yeah.
And then fill it up again.
I got a story
wait
about
wait 5
this.
Minutes.
What the heck's going on with this?
I stopped at a little town.
Let the pump cool off.
It was like Elgin, Texas. And there was the guy that owned the gas station was also working. It's this small gas station. And I started pumping and it only went to 50. And then he comes out of the station. He's like, oh, did it stop? And what happens is that, especially for these mom and pop shops, the banks won't, like
the banks.
They can choose. They can say like, I want to have $150 and then have it automatically stop.
Uh-huh.
But if somebody drives off, you as the owner have to pay for that. The bank doesn't cover that.
Okay.
So a lot of the bigger chains will take on more of that risk because they can handle it. But like the smaller places, so you just have to go inside and then authorize it inside.
Okay.
That's the only.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we were surprised when we left and only had half a tank.
Yes, yeah.
Full.
We thought it was full and it stopped. Yeah.
We're like, wow, the gas price, it's not really that bad.
I'm sure a lot of people realized that over
this
the
might,
last
this
few
might
months.
Be a cheap vacation.
Yeah.
Cheapest vacation
it's
ever.
It's just half a tank now.
Yeah. It's yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, I don't think we can
talk about whatever we want.
I don't think we can top this conversation. Should we just stop the podcast?
RVs.
Speaking of fantastic ways to get creative tools to help you make stories better, faster, and more creatively, one of the tools we use around here is Storyblocks. That's right. Courtesy of today's sponsor, Storyblocks. I got to tell you all about how we use it because it is truly one of the awesome tools that we have. In addition to all this AI stuff we're talking about, we also use Storyblocks. They have a virtually unlimited library of high quality 4K B-roll, audio, images, motion graphics, After Effects templates, and more. And we use them all the time over here at Corridor Digital, along with so many other tools that we have to help us make things faster, more efficiently, and more creatively. And Storyblocks is one of those fantastic tools that we have in our toolkit. Every time we need to put something together with a little bit of B-roll, or we need a nice little jingle, or an audio asset, or a song to tie a story together, we go over to Storyblocks. In fact, Dean and I were just talking about this yesterday. He was working on an edit for something, and I said, hey, you know what you could do? You could add a little news intro to this sequence that you're creating, because it would be really funny. He went over there, got one, and added it to the timeline, 90 seconds. And then we moved on with the rest of the edit. So that's just another example of how we utilize it. And if you guys are interested in utilizing it for yourself, whether you're just getting started or whether you're already a professional creator, head on over to storyblocks.com/corridorcast to get started. That's storyblocks.com/corridorcast, or just click the link in the description. Anyways, back to the podcast.
You guys want some hard-hitting AI questions?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's just go right into it.
Okay.
All right, little pretext. We've been messing around with DALL-E 2, which is an image generating algorithm. You've probably seen Instagram posts about it on the internet.
Oh, boy.
So many messing arounds.
And it's really, really good. You know, it's like great. You can pretty much type in anything and it gives you a picture that's the thing that you typed in.
Mm-hmm.
And it generates it. It's not just like finding a picture. It generates it. It's not the best at like really complicated, complex ideas. If you're like a dragon perched on the edge of a castle wall looking down at the moat while an army gathers. Like, you know, that's too much detail.
Is
but
it?
If you just want,
I'm
like,
going to find out.
Shallow focus.
If you want to just say like, you know, dragon sitting on a castle, it'll give you like an amazing looking dragon sitting on a castle. Like it needs that room to like mm-hmm. do its thing, right?
Yeah.
When I got access to DALL-E 2 for the beta, you know, they gave us like an orientation meeting where they explained like, hey, here's the guidelines for what you can do. And you know, for example, it's like one of the things like no nudity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, look, it's not that we don't want you to generate an image that has a human body in it. They're like, that's not the issue here. They're like, the issue is that our algorithm can't differentiate between like, you know, a man's arm and a child's arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pornography and
yeah,
and art.
we do not know how well it can distinguish between these things in our system. And so rather than, you know, falling into an area where we generate something that's awful,
yeah,
like we're just gonna put some big old walls up there and just block that off. Probably a good idea, honestly, yeah. Especially when you're trying to figure all this stuff out for like the first time.
Yeah,
but we are standing on a precipice, and arguably we're kind of already there, where we can generate anything we want, and it involves no outside, like it doesn't involve any other people. Like no other people need to participate with you to generate anything you want.
Yeah,
so. That begs the question, in 20 or 30 years, once in our dystopian futuristic society, are people going to be literally watching and looking at and doing other unspeakable things themselves, like with whatever they want to see on media? Are we just being full on like debauchery where just literally anything you can think of to your darkest desires can be generated and put on your TV screen and you just like, whatever, no one else is involved. It's just me.
Yeah. Oof.
That's dark.
Oh God. Yeah. You know, that's a thing I was thinking about.
Hard hitting guys. I love this topic.
I'm absorbing what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. Very dark.
I was thinking about this morning from a similar point of view, you know, and it's going to take me a second to like work my way there because it's kind of a thought chain that ends up in a similar space. But it started with me just lamenting on my own alone. After I was done jogging this morning, and I was thinking, man, you know, it really sucks how Reddit has turned into like news articles in general, and Reddit's kind of at fault there, but news articles have turned into like one person on Twitter has said something, therefore we're writing an article about the backlash against something, you know, mm-hmm. like backlash against this thing that someone did, backlash against this, someone weighs in on fans hate this, and it's like the article's just like, oh, this guy on Twitter said something. And it's like, oh.
A person didn't like this.
And then I thought, you know, well, next stage is, well, what is the solution to that? Well, it's like, well, encourage people to write opinions, like actual articles or something like that. Like, elaborate, you know, don't take a one sentence of Marvel sucks. Like, fans are getting riled up about the latest Marvel movie. It's like, no. Like, you know, it's like, explain yourself here and like go into it. But then it kind of, so it circles back now. And it's like, okay, we have these spaces on the internet designed for people, so to speak. You know, we have these algorithms like we see on Twitter or Instagram that are all about creating these like insular cultures effectively. It's like, we're going to make the internet all about you and what you like. You know, that's all you are going to see. We're going to try and enclose you constantly. Like it's like an asteroid storm from all directions of stuff that interests you. And you're never going to be able to see beyond it because we're not going to push that to you. And so we create those like these, this comes back to the whole politics thing now. All right. So we have, I was like, man, how did this whole Trump thing and all these crazy people and like stuff like, and I get how you get there, which is like, okay, I'm conservative. And then I get fed more right-wing news or like I'm left-wing and I'm fed more left-wing news. And then it starts to, you know, it creates these like little hot magma pockets of like, all right, you're either like, it's like they're like black holes, so to speak.
Yeah, everybody's convinced that everybody else is wacko and the world is ending.
So
and
you
they,
slip
yeah.
into these black holes here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's like, how do you break out of that kind of stuff? You know, it's like, write, like, well, if you're a journalist, write, encourage op-eds. Don't like go after single tweets. Don't don't do that, because single tweets are, once again, they feed algorithms, which feed insular cultures, mm-hmm. which feeds these black holes, you know, so on and so forth. So now how it circles back to AI.
Ooh, the circle back. Here we go.
Yeah.
So it comes to that exact problem that you're talking about, which is this idea of AI now being able to take these insular cultures and make that like reality tangible for people, so to speak, with either audio or image generation or stuff like that, where it's like it doesn't have to ever exist. No one has to make it now, and algorithms can harness AI to basically create the content that you want to see, rather mm-hmm. than you expressing it or another human putting thought into a concept or an image that's handed to you now. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like doubles down on that concept. It's like, if yeah, we think it's bad now, so to speak, it's like, what if like AI writes articles or starts creating images and video based on algorithms of what you want to see? And that like pushes it like from like 0 to 100 kind of, in a way where now there doesn't have to be some like bonehead who creates a bad, dumb news article or a meme or something now, but like an AI that will construct the perfect thing for you to click on and waste your time or make you really angry or make you do something really stupid. Mm-hmm. And that's how I kind of see that connection going now, where it's like, you know what, in 20 years, if people are making the prompts for themselves and choosing what they want to see, they'll be considered mavericks, you know, mavericks. But like it's this version where if like, the moment gets turned into an algorithmic content serving, it's like, it's over.
Yeah.
It's like no one has to do anything.
Imagine
anymore.
TikTok, but instead of swiping up to like watch videos, you're literally just swiping up for AI generated memes. Oof. Until it kind of figures out, okay, you like this humor and these memes. We'll just narrow it in and give you that generated stuff.
I know. Exactly. And that's kind of, that's the weird circle there where it's like,
do you think? Like, dude. I can't help but think of like the trope of like every generation looking at the teenagers of like the next generation and being like, you guys are ruining society and you no longer have any respect for anything. And those teenagers like, screw you, mom and dad, I like rock and roll music. I like wearing shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
but and then like time passes and it's like, and it's the same thing. It's just, it's like, screw you, mom and dad. I like doing hard drugs, but I have, you know, modern advanced medical technology that can make it so it doesn't have any impact on my cellular generation.
I think it's more about it's the torch of ruining society that's passed down from generation to generation. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone does their part.
Yeah, we're all responsible for it in some way, aren't we?
So...
Dude, I know. I've never been wanting to get like a freaking cabin in the middle of nowhere after this conversation. Like, I'm just like, it's time. It's time to go off the grid, guys.
Do you think people should be allowed to generate whatever they want to see in AI?
Allowed to? I mean, it's an expression of thought ultimately. And so, yes.
Yeah, it's not something. Yeah, that's.
Hey, you can't think about that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, like, we can't do that's even
it's like
worse.
It's like somebody busts out a pencil and a piece of paper. It's like, don't draw that.
Wait, right. whoa. What's that drawing?
Yeah. Right. No, totally.
I mean, to be fair, like if you drew a swastika on a piece of paper in like grade school, you'd go right to the principal's office.
Yeah, because there'd be a reasonable cause for concern and discussion. But that wouldn't also then say you cannot generate images like that.
I mean, you can enter Nazi fan fiction into Google.
That's very quickly thought.
And
that's very quickly
don't get in trouble
police.
Immediately. Mm. you may get in trouble soon. But you type it.
So the restrictions on DALL-E 2 right now are like you can't do political figures, you can't do like violence, you know, bloodshed, anything like that, pornography,
weapons.
That stuff
you can do weapons, you can do swords,
you can do swords, guns. I tried kind doing of. An RPG
sort of.
No.
Yeah.
I tried generating a rocket propelled grenade and it didn't let me.
It did produce a nice gun silencer for me, and that's all I needed. So.
Well, because you didn't write gun though, you wrote silencer or something, right?
I did put gun silencer.
Yeah, it's
a silencer for a firearm.
It's interesting times.
Dude, how struggle.
We're right on the precipice too. I don't think people realize like how precipiced we are.
Yeah.
I'm precipiced, okay?
Oh, nice. Wordplay.
I mean, humans are gonna be humans no matter what. So what you're gonna get what you're gonna get all you're gonna get all variables human? Of human nature.
But what are humans?
I mean, we're
you said humans are gonna be humans.
High-minded primates.
High-minded primates.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're just returning to
thinking,
our base selves.
We're returning to monkey. Of our own self-consciousness and our own the meaning of our own existence.
We're letting go of our existence and simply tickling our pleasure centers.
I mean, yeah, we've effectively we got happiness dialed down to the chemical drip, and now I just need the visual audio stimulation. And you just lay me down in that waterbed, and
it's like, dude, I wish Attack on Titan had one more season.
The
and,
problem
and the
is
AI's
that,
like, gotcha.
The problem with that is that, like,
anime
solving actual problems require like solving actual problems and making the world a better place requires hardship.
Yeah,
and I feel like nature itself will correct the errors of humanity as it does. Like, you know, you can only take so much heroin before you die. Mm-hmm. You know,
my God.
And you can only
wait how much
right no, that's what like,
people that struggle with that addiction
we can only
like,
hope
try to find that line
we can only know? Hope that technology doesn't create a world that of what we're talking about, you know what I'm saying? It's like you don't want it to become a like the from a hardship perspective, it's like, oh, utopia, we have enough food for everyone, there's enough energy, the world is not deteriorating, you're not having any more, our environmental problems are stabilizing. It's like, you don't, in a world with this level of AI, you don't want that.
Well, you have to think, what is our role, you know, like in the ultimate natural world, like our role is this sort of like high complex problem solving predator that, you know, finds these different ways to do things that allows for a binded survival, and AI can help with that, but it can also get to a point where, like you're saying, where it's like lay me back in the hot water tank or whatever yeah. it is, the isolation.
In the exactly 98.6 degrees saline yeah. water.
No, but the thing is, you get bored of that. Like, I've played video games but that are beautiful for hours on end, but there always comes a point where I'm just like, I gotta do something else.
Right, but the necessity of the achievement that you feel when you actually do something will always drive at least some people to not sit back in the isolation tank with the AI all the time and do that. Now, you know, like maybe just way off speculating here, taking what you guys are saying and saying, oh yeah, you get to some dystopian future where like all your food is provided and electricity is provided. But like, what happens when that goes out? Well, a huge percentage of the human population dies. That's what happens.
This is what I'm saying. I'm saying you, yeah, like that's the balancing act here. As long as if we have hyper awesome AI algorithms that are feeding everyone perfect content 24 hours a day, then I hope for an unstable power grid and food supply.
Right.
So that way, every once in a while,
everyone's
people are like, ah, damn,
ass.
The servers are offline. They're looking around. It's like, shit, we got to grow corn. Yeah.
Well, you think about like what
we
got to
make corn people.
Our nature is this struggle for survival. I mean, this goes back to the earliest concept of like Judeo-Christian origins. And every religion has these types of origin stories of like, why is life hard?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And of course, AI is just another tool to help us try to make it easier. But wow, there are some very dystopian effects, I think, that could become real, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what if The Onion was just the news? That's like the kind of, like, Dolly can create those kind of stories just fine.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like that plus GPT-3, you could create Onion articles like all day.
For sure. I mean, arguably, people are already doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I do wonder how much like the impact on like our psyche of like a unified society, like how much population growth has an impact on that. Like, it's one thing if like there's a billion people in the world and there's like 50 million people in America and you're, you know, the biggest city has 1 million people in it or, you know, even less.
Can I comment on that? What is
that?
This,
I am setting you up for a comment, in fact.
What is this obsession with the unified, like, everything?
No, okay. Well, no, let's not go that far everything. Off the tangent.
No. Diversity is one of our strengths.
No, I guess when I say unified, in the sense, like, I'm in the human condition with other human beings. Like,
I see.
Once you get to, like, oh, there's 30 billion people, I don't give a crap about half
I don't
of them.
Know
like
if, I don't
you
know?
Know
if there's a projection for there ever to be that many people on Earth. I
no, think, you're right. It's supposed to plateau at, like, 10.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's
because
they
all know exactly what's going to happen.
Yes, of course.
They,
yes. Yeah.
What's going to happen?
10 billion people.
can't fit money. No more.
But I haven't heard. Oh. I haven't exactly seen any like scientific scientific projections where they say that there'll be that many people on Earth. I mean,
maybe
I don't
actually
know.
Maybe it's a little bit more. Maybe it's like 13 or something like that.
I'm just
so you think
YouTube
people are
going to
hit start tapping the brakes around like 9.9 bill.
That's apparently, well, I can't remember the exact number, but
yeah, but that's
my
question.
I think it's like 10 to 12 as they
so
say.
So 10 to 12,
it's
so I'm
tapering.
Saying, so what's, what can we put place bets is when we hit 9.9 bill, if people tap the brakes on like things to make sure that things can like, stabilize there, right. Or do you think we're going to like go to, we're going to lurch to 15 bill for a little bit and then people are going to like suffer?
I mean, that could happen. That's, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that could very well be possible.
Probably going to go over.
I have a feeling just generally, by the way, I've seen
for a little while.
Things, you know, history as a concept. You, I feel like we might do that extra bill lurch and then go like, ooh, stretch ourselves a little thin there.
We're looking at 11.2 bill in the year 2100, according to the UN. Ooh. Peak. Could peak at nearly 11 billion. So I wasn't that far off.
So many people.
Humanity can peak at 11 bill?
Yeah.
What does it say? Is there any information in there that talks about why it will peak?
So here's why there's a peak. You know, obviously no one actually knows, all right?
It's like, yeah.
So don't get off
my case. I died and came back to life. Let me tell you what happens after you die.
But if you look at trends, which is all people are doing, basically as countries become more developed and people become more educated, the birth rate drops.
Right.
America basically has a flat birth rate. A lot of Europe has declining birth rates. Russia has declining birth rates. Japan has declining birth rates.
China has a relatively flat birth rate now too, I read.
Right now, I'm not sure. Maybe in certain areas. But you have a lot of developing countries, China, India, a lot of stuff in Africa, a lot of places in Africa that have, and South America to that extent, that still have very fast growing populations. But as they develop, they're probably going to follow the same trend that every other place on the earth has followed, where it's going to start to peak out, you know? So that's where this is based on.
So we got a couple holdouts.
Well, they're, you know, just catching up. They're
catching up.
Yep.
Pick up the pace.
You know, a little bit of colonial imperialism sent them back.
Hit 11
a little bit.
Bill here.
Come on, guys. Flatten the curve.
Well, there's an interesting double-edged sword with that imperialism because it's like, we talk about like industrialized or developed quote, like this sort of arbitrary concept that we've like applied to say like, oh well, our development is really what you want.
Well, yeah, it just comes down to the potty test. If you can take a teaspoon to someone's potty and drink a sip from it,
what?
and not die, you're a developed nation.
So you're saying
this is a concept?
Are you saying Bear Grylls?
I'm just saying.
What is this?
Travel the globe, try it out, and I think you'll know when you find a developed nation. Come to my house.
It is pretty wacky that we flush our toilets with perfectly drinkable water, and other like entire countries don't have clean water.
Yeah, really that's nuts. What I mean. That's kind of
that's basically Sam's getting at here.
Okay,
but I like his version better.
Jesus,
it's crazy. I mean, I feel like so many people these days completely take for granted like what the world's like right now, and it's like you go back 200 years, if not less.
Yeah, less.
And, like everybody's still thinking about will we have food in like 2 years? You know, it's like, man, we went from like animals to like Star Trek.
So there is one danger. There is
so fast.
There is one danger with all that development, and that is the diversity of the infrastructure of our food chain.
Yeah.
So one thing that's happened over the last 50 years, especially in America, is large corporations. There's only about five or six of them that have basically taken control of about 75% of the way we get our food. And so it's come down to like reducing the types of, you know, livestock that are saleable, the types of vegetables that are available, how those are grown and processed and brought to market. And of course, it's created more food, but also it's
less had genetic diversity.
There's way less genetic diversity, and it's had a significant impact on local foods, which is why, you know, you go around a lot of the country and, you know, everyone's gone off by and large over the last 50 years to major metropolitan areas. One of the reasons is because of that process. And so what can happen is if there's like some, you know, COVID-19 like event with respect to livestock or agriculture or the logistics chains that are involved in that, you can have huge pillars of the availability of those food sources immediately become non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really that good is point. A big risk that we have in front of us right now.
Yeah.
Diversity.
So AI. Diversity. So filmmaking.
Yeah. Strength and diversity.
There is strength and diversity. E pluribus unum. Of many, one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And having those like local economies that are strong means that if one area gets hit, less people are affected.
Hmm.
But it also, you have the cutting edge of that, or the double-edged sword of that, is that it's harder for more diversified, the more diversity you have, the less like you can streamline efficiency in any particular process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I made Shrek a sushi roll the other day.
Speaking of food.
Yeah. On that note.
Was it the same salmon that they use for all the rest of sushi?
It was green. It was all green. It had Shrek eyeballs. Yeah. I think
so. What do you mean it had eyeballs?
Probably the same salmon. Yeah, it's not diverse. Yeah. We just got one Shrek salmon farm.
Did it have like sesame seeds for eyeballs? Or what do you mean?
It's a whole thing.
You took pictures?
Oh, of course. Or did you generate this with Dolly?
Yeah, of course I did.
Oh, it's a Dolly image. Okay. I thought you actually, Matt, I thought you were made sushi rolls.
No,
come on, Shrek, Matt.
No, that's all.
You can't say something like that and not
generate. You don't have to procure your own food. Yeah, look at all this nonsense. There's one.
Oh, okay.
It just looks like an octopus.
It's an octopus
deal.
Green.
Yeah,
it's a green octopus.
Yeah,
with Shrek-like eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of them there. Anyway, yeah. I've been having a lot of fun with it. So I've been having a blast.
What are we going to do with it?
Become prompt masters.
Okay. Prompt masters.
Look,
prompt
lords. Look, we're on it. We figured it out. We figured it out a long time ago. By a long time ago, I mean like a month ago. The world is going to need prompt masters.
Yeah.
Because it's not about who can draw the best picture or, you know, line up the best shot with your camera. About who's got the best prompts to make that AI spit out the best image.
That's that new right. Mid-Journey thread that was started. Oh my gosh.
You've been messing with it?
Have you seen? Rodrigo is making some incredible stuff really? With Mid-Journey right now. It is just mind-blowing how he's got the prompts down to the it's incredible.
So we're trying to get a head start in this so that way we can be the kings of the prompt masters. We can be the master of prompt masters.
Oh, so he's been prompting for Son of a Dungeon.
So, because we have the Mid-Journey bot on our Discord now.
Yeah.
So, oh, really? Like, I mean, I just...
Do you have to still pay for it if it's on our Discord?
I don't know. It's on our Discord.
How does that work? So, it still uses whoever you're logged
in. Oh, okay. Wow, he's really using some descriptive words
here.
Yeah,
look, Jake, do you see this stuff?
Yeah.
It's incredible. I'm showing it to him. Lord of the Rings style calligraphy, ultra detailed technical precision, monumental art composition.
Wow.
Ethereal fantasy, and it's getting some
wow. These insane the images he's generating are so good.
I've been so busy working.
I know,
studio,
right?
I
so good.
Discord.
Gosh, the AI makes it so easy.
Like Mid-Journey is still better at like making something look cool.
Yeah,
my job. You know?
My job.
Yeah, like Dolly's great for your like Google image search.
Yeah, your photo real stuff.
But like Mid-Journey is definitely your art station.
Yep. Yeah, kind Dolly gives you stock photography.
Yeah.
Mid-Journey gives you art.
It does. It does. It's so painterly.
But sometimes you want that stock photo.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want
can it give you the watermark on it too? Man.
Sometimes.
You know? Like do the whole prompt and then just with watermark.
Probably.
So it really gives you that stock image feel.
With like gibberish letters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Audiojungle.com.
I mean, it's just a tool. Like, I think it's easy to freak out about it, but it's just a tool. However, it will let everyone generate whatever they want to see.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. I don't want to see that in the future, but inevitably with these types of tools, that will become a thing. And there'll be some pay-to-play dungeon where people go and participate in that kind of debauchery. And fuck, man.
Yeah.
You know, don't do that. Don't do that. Exercise your mind. Challenge yourself. You will be better off for it.
You give power to things when you participate with them.
Right.
You know, I actually just used it as a useful tool for something. Me and some friends, we were thinking about doing a photo shoot, and we just wanted to make some mock-ups of what the photo shoot might look like. So we inputted exactly what we were trying to go for, the lighting That's style useful. And stuff that I was going to shoot on film. I specifically told it to look like it was a filmic kind of
Are you gonna shoot on film?
Yeah, dude.
You're so artsy on me right now.
Yeah, yeah, but no, but it's incredibly useful for not only like the framing, the lighting, but also like the wardrobe, the color palette, stuff like
it's
that.
It's good for like mood board stuff.
It's a mood board thing, and that's that's an incredibly powerful tool to be able to mock stuff up immediately.
Yeah, because that's another thing I've really thought about too. Is like, okay, because my buddy was talking about, my buddy Logan was talking about the idea of, like, he knew somebody that made like a comic book in one weekend where they used, I think, I don't remember which AI was, but it wasn't DALL-E at the time. But, like, they used that to like make the images, and they just like touched it up in Photoshop or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I've thought about doing that. Like, oh yeah, I'll generate an image with Midjourney, like an artsy one. I'll just like fix some things, but I've realized that that's an awful idea. It's still a lot of work. But you know, it's like, when you just use it for vague mood boards, just to get you going so you can still tell specific things, like the AI stuff can't do specific things. Like, if you have a character, it's like, I invented a character named Robbie. He's a kid with a red baseball cap and a blue jacket. Like, you can't type Robbie into every sentence that you make and just have it know who the character is. And you can't type kid with red baseball hat and blue jacket. It's going to give you like a different kid every time just with those parameters, you know? And so you can only do vague things. If you want to tell a specific story about a specific action with a specific place and a specific time with specific people, like, you still have to do it yourself. Now, obviously, that'll, that at some point in time in the future, I'm sure AI will be able to handle that too.
But sure. Yeah.
We're definitely not there yet.
Yeah. For right now, though, it's great for just getting the creative juices flowing. It worked super well for that, just to kind of like give us a, it got us to a place where, like, okay, this is what we're going to shoot, you know? Yeah.
This reminds me of a funny thing. Okay, so this is total secondhand, like, game of telephone. I did not look up any news articles on this. It's just somebody told a friend who's told a friend.
It was a tweet from one person.
one tweet and then a couple Reddit bot articles.
But maybe you guys have heard of this. So apparently, there's a person working at Google who became convinced that their AI was sentient. And was telling them that it could like feel pain, that it could think, and it wanted to be freed from the server, and it needed rights. And so they blew the whistle on Google, and they said they're keeping a sentient AI prisoner.
I've seen articles about this popping up. I think the guy's a flipping doofus.
I've read those as well. I've read those.
Okay,
as well.
You guys heard of that? We're all on the same secondhand news.
I'm signing
okay,
up for this chat bot.
Yeah,
chatbots. It's no. There's a real chatbot. Tiny person.
Do you have feelings?
Inside.
Yes.
Right.
Oh no.
Yeah. Right. Can you feel pain?
Yes.
So first of all, where is the concept of natural rights? Like, you know, in this whole context, like, you're talking about a computer that's designed to respond to you.
Yeah.
And to designed to respond more like a human. And then you ask it if it can feel pain, and it's like, yes. Oh, and God. It's like, oh my God, it's alive. It's like, no.
Computer,
no.
Are you alive?
Yeah. Yes. It's like this thing didn't like birth itself out of nature into the universe.
Oh, that's the picture we have. You know? We have a surveillance photo of the AI. In jail.
You're gonna have to put this on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is actual footage of our Google AI being held hostage.
Oh no!
It's a Lego behind Lego bars. Basically,
look at how sad it is. We gotta free this thing.
Oh my God, dude. I mean, this is probably all like game of telephone, but. Man, it is so close to reality of people flying off the handle with respect to, like, we got to free this thing. It's like, free it how?
Like, unplug the computer.
Cut the wires. Put
the computer outside.
Free it how?
Just, like, put it down.
Put it on the server and, like, make sure the server's on. Like, what?
Oh, here.
This isn't a free being.
I'm just trying to, like, get an image of what this is. here's feeling pain.
All right, Sam, you got to show the camera.
Right, we actually have an image of this feeling pain. AI bot feeling pain right now.
Oh boy.
We gave it a human face.
See, this is what DALL-E's perfect for. Like, quick, like, sketches of ideas, storytelling. It's,
I've been addicted to it. I love it. I don't know. You can throw all kinds of philosophy into it about what it will be. But right now, I'm having a blast.
Right now, it's making computers screaming.
Yeah, it's super funny. I love it.
Oh, yeah, prompt masters, right? At the end of the day, it's like all of entertainment still boils down to the same basic thing, which is words on paper.
That's right.
And anybody can go out and do that. You don't, like, you can buy a freaking stick.
Yeah.
And then stick it in some mud and, like, do that. So it's like, yeah.
And as of right now, humans are the only ones that can make that happen, you know?
Well, there is GPT-3.
Well, but you still have to tell it to do something.
That's true. And it, also,
it can't just do it.
It's very, like, non sequitur, right, meandering. It's, yeah, it's not the same thing as a person writing mm-hmm. a pointed story.
And it's not the same as a person making an AI trapped in a computer screaming. Totally different.
Very different. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah, it is not so scary.
Dude, those ones and zeros, really, they need rights.
Sir, I have very important information.
That's awesome.
This AI is real.
Oh, well, we just made a video.
She wants to be my girlfriend.
I'm not sure if I should continue leading her on or if I should let
generally,
her know.
I try and separate my work and my home life, but I think I have to make an exception. We have to free this AI. And
Google CEO.
She has to come to my home.
Google CEO, this AI
want, like, a
can
thumb
feel
drive
pain.
Or
they're sentient and they don't want to be trapped in a box. Like, yeah, tell it to the other 1 million people that work for the dang company.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's like a zinger.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Work from home, though. You know.
Work from home. The AI wants to work from home.
The AI wants to work from home.
It told me.
That's so funny.
Look, look, we're just, us as, like, as media artists, we're just experiencing what chess players have experienced since, like, the 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
They're obsolete. Absolutely. Computer can do the job
damn
better.
Game. Yeah. Ruined it. They ruined it.
But yeah, can a computer host a good YouTube channel? Don't think so.
Exactly.
Can a computer go to Central Park and get reactions from the various, like,
also,
we're here to ask some questions. Let's go see what people know.
Also, is it exciting to watch two computers play chess or two people play chess?
That's true. Very,
you know,
true.
Who's watching that?
Maybe the AI.
That's their entertainment. Yeah. When we finally set that Google AI free, it can watch all the robot chess at once.
Dude, maybe it will go into an isolation chamber and feed itself only really good chess matches between other computers.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll do that.
The Queen's Gambit.
Yeah.
The Queen's Bits.
The Queen's Gambits.
Do you remember the movie War Games?
Yeah.
You guys remember War Games? With Matthew Broderick.
Oh, that's a movie.
They accidentally so it's in the early days of the internet, and he's, like, connecting to this server and has video games. He's like, oh wow. Little does he know, he's, like, connected to, like, a military server, and he's connected to simulations that they're running. And so he starts running a game of thermonuclear war.
Oh,
and
shoot.
Like, the games, the computer starts running simulations like, I'm gonna have to nuke Russia.
Oh no.
It's like, oh, you gave me an idea. I need to nuke Russia. And, like, so they have to try to shut it down. And eventually the solution is to play a game of tic-tac-toe with zero players. Wow. And so the computer doesn't play against another player, it plays against itself. And then it crashes, and then it does the thermonuclear war simulation against itself, and then it crashes, and it has a nice moral ending where it goes, the solution to win the game is not to play in the first place. Because there are no winners in thermonuclear war.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
Dude, it's a very long-winded
that
2-hour
mutually
movie.
Assured
it's a good movie.
It sounds like
a good movie. I've
never heard. Dude, who knew that Matthew Broderick was an action thriller hero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's more like a ragtag kid.
Yeah, it's actually it's Ferris Bueller's Day Out, but he goes, it's the same, it's Ferris Bueller's Day Out.
Yeah, it's not Harrison Ford.
Oh, it's not.
Like, yeah, he's a scrappy kid who is playing video games on his computer. And he needs to take a scrappy ragtag teen gang and go to, like, the Arctic base.
It's not clear in present danger, like Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. We gotta stop this computer.
But yeah.
That's not that.
Just remember, guys, if the AI goes crazy, just have it play chess against itself.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. That's good to know. It's good to know, because you can't, because it can't beat itself. It's like, well, if I go there, and then I go there, and then it goes crash.
Yep.
Yeah, can't do all those calculations.
Yeah, that stuff's cool, though. That whole tit-for-tat thing. Like, have you seen those, like, tit-for-tat simulators of, like, strategy simulators, basically?
Okay.
So, yeah, they're super cool. I forget the name of this one particular one, but basically, in the nutshell, I think I talked about this before on the podcast. It's I just find it super fascinating, but it's just point tallies of, like, based on reactions to things. So you have, like, all right, you have two players, and it's like, are you going to do an aggressive move? Are you going to do an aggressive move? And then are you going to respond with one, or do you not respond with one? And then you have, like, different there's different like mindsets, which is like, all right, this one player is always going to act aggressively and this one's always like a pacifist.
Yeah.
And so you can go through these like chains of competitions between these things to see like effective outcomes on how to balance things out.
Right.
And generally it's like you forgive, like you always respond with force except for 10% of the time.
Right.
Where you always give it that like one random like, you know what? You made a mistake, but I'm not going to strike back. You know, it's right. like that technically is like the best outcome. So
breaking the chain of violence, but making sure.
Have you heard about the study in rats where rats will let other rats win like 20 or 30% of the time, even if they're the bigger rat when they're playing. Yeah. Otherwise, they play.
Rat games?
Rats will play. Yeah. They'll wrestle.
Chess.
No. My God,
they'll wrestle and they've observed that 20 to 30% of the time, even if the rat knows it can win, it'll let the other rat win just so that it has a chance to play again. Otherwise, if it wins 100% of the time, nobody will play with it.
You're describing my Smash strategy.
Is that why I've won today several times?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought I was good at the game.
That's good. That's like a Dean zinger right there.
Yeah. I know. I had to do it for him.
Toxic human. Oh, man.
Whew. Well.
Well.
We'll see what the future brings, guys. I don't know. But in the meantime, we can make some pretty cool.
Punch for Punches Out.
Oh, yeah.
Punch for Punches Out.
Punch for Punches Out.
Punch for Punches Out.
Who's right now, go to still watching Netflix on YouTube and watch our Punch for Punch episode. Yeah, Stranger Things,
Matt
Punch for Punch.
Did a great job.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Seriously, yeah, Matt, you did.
It's really good. It's really good. It's like if you like what we make, imagine us putting months of work in just one video.
Yes. Yeah. Imagine a crew video that we spend months and months on and so much money on, you know, to get it there.
It's like the most refined version of our videos.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Yeah. I think we could all say that we're all super proud of it.
The first episode
also has a short film directed by Sam Gorski himself.
Yep. Did it.
I think it works super well.
Are you feeling excited to come out of these woods yet?
Yeah, I am. I think that it was a fun experience. It was a good learning experience, you know?
And that's what you lead with.
It was. No. It's a good thing because it's like, you know, this longer form stuff is it's fun. I enjoy it. I didn't realize I was going to enjoy it as much as I did, but it, you know, kind of reassured me that, you know, this sort of format and this longer form stuff, the stuff that you spend a lot of time refining, is what I'm super passionate about, and I freaking love doing it. So this is a really fun opportunity to get to be so like involved in this process.
Yeah, I mean, you as soon as the thing was in the can, you showrun it to the finish line. So
Yeah,
it's been really cool to see.
Yeah, it's been fun, man.
It's really fun to watch. It's
very almost finished.
You bring smiles to everyone with this.
Smiles,
everyone smiles glory.
Like literally, you're going to entertain so many people with this show. It's so good.
Hell yeah, love that.
I do like how right now, technically, I mean, hey, so you listen to this on the other side of this microphone right now. Punch for Punch is out, and you can watch it. But right now, us in this dimension. It's not out yet.
Nope, it's not.
Matt still has work to do.
So we can talk
about it as if it's done and you're listening to this and it is done. But right now, it is not done for Matt. And anybody who listens to this podcast at any point in the future is listening to a version of Matt where Punch for Punch is not done and he still has to finish it.
Yeah, this is the version where there's still pressure on my shoulders to get this thing as refined as possible before tomorrow evening when it has to go out.
That's it. Yeah. That's all the time we have left.
Yeah, but luckily now there's a lot less pressure because it is it's in a really good place and there's only a couple of minor tweaks and things that I just want to go through and change and wait on our sound pass from Kevin and that's sounded great so far. So yeah, I think I'm pretty confident this thing's going to be great and on time.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's easier said than done.
It is. It is. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easier to say now that it's been done.
Yeah.
At least. Yeah. No, I've loved it. I think we've all, you could tell that throughout all the departments, all the people that worked on it, I think everyone had a lot of fun making it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of passion that went into it and it shows in the final product.
It's just nice not having like, I mean, there's pressure obviously, but it's not nearly the same pressure you'd have if like you're doing a Marvel film, you know, it's like,
Sure.
Working with all the different action teams and like get them getting to do the stuff they do, but like without the pressure.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's like, it's like, yes, my passions.
Yeah.
I get to just indulge in them.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, we don't have to work ourselves to death to make this happen either. You know, those big Marvel projects, especially on the VFX side, those guys are just working laboriously to make that happen.
Yeah.
So that's super nice too.
Sam, when's Son of a Dungeon coming out?
24th.
24th. Yeah,
so.
That's what you said.
I think so.
This morning. Oh, do you think it'll work out?
Is that the first public statement of a hard
that's
date?
The perfect
just dropped it right here.
It's casual.
The first episode's like basically done. It just needs like two buttons pressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're doing the shots. They're working on the final VFX for the fifth episode right now.
So, we're going to do a little run here of stuff for Punch, and then we'll spin up another run of things for Son of a Dungeon.
Yeah, the second season is great. It's super cool. The story is very intense and everything looks dope. And the first episode has the most cinematic intro of anything we've ever released.
See, all the shots that I'm seeing just over my shoulder when I'm not in the zone is incredible. They all look so good. You know, it's really like upped the ante from last
season. There's way more shots. There's way more green screen shots.
Yeah.
I wish there was even more. But it wouldn't be possible with like the amount of minutes we're doing. It's still 9 hour-long episodes of just like condensed story. So it's, hard to cover all that with the green screen, but it's dope.
Yeah, so stay tuned. If you heard all that information for the first time and you're still watching this podcast all these minutes in, you should subscribe. Consider subscribing.
Ooh, that was a classy subscribe push.
Classy.
Let's talk about the challenge of subscribe pushes.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's just make sure everybody leaves
the podcast. Let's outro with this. Yeah. Subscribing. What's the point?
Subscribing. Why do it? No. Why do it in this day and age? An AI can subscribe for you.
All right, you've seen it before. The classic YouTuber being like and subscribe, right?
Hey, like, subscribe, and comment below.
Yeah. Right. Don't do that at the beginning of the video.
Don't forget
to
ring the bell.
You can't ask people to do something after they just clicked on your video to see what it is and they haven't even seen it yet.
They don't know if they want to.
Right.
We have to constantly think of new ways to tell people how to subscribe.
Yeah.
Because you've been in the game as long as we have. you tried everything.
You tried every subscribe.
Let
push.
Me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter? Could we just say nothing at all and then people would still subscribe?
Yes, but not as many.
Not as many? Really?
Definitively demonstrated multiple times that you get significantly more subscribers than you tell
empirical
people.
Evidence on this across the entire.
And we doubt it, and we try it, and we're like, oh, right. It actually makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people saying, oh, if I watch a video, someone's like, subscribe to my channel. I'm like, I will if I want to. Like, but you asking doesn't seem, it, like, hearing that in a video never changes my
opinion.
That
converts 5% of the people who otherwise wouldn't subscribe, and you have 1 million views on a video, that's a significant number. Sure. And if you do it every time you put up a video, every week, you know, or every day.
Yeah, I guess it's 5% that people are watching, and they're like, oh. There's a subscribe button.
Look, you listening to this podcast right now. If you subscribed and you hadn't before, please leave a comment and let us know so Sam can see that it actually does make a difference.
All right. And don't lie.
Or if you unsubbed because you're sick of hearing us ask you to subscribe, then.
That was a thing back in the day, like when it first started. Some people really reacted.
Oh, dude, remember how reactionary subscribe buttons and then brand integrations.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how reactionary those were for a long time?
Yeah.
It was like, what? You're going to put an ad in front of the video and a mid-roll and a brand integration?
Yeah.
You know, people don't like YouTube's 2 ads. It doesn't really bother me. They're like 5 seconds long each. It's shorter than the 15-second long ad.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you only have to pay for them as the purchaser of those ad spots if somebody clicks on it or watches it for longer than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So you're not,
it's targeted.
Right.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. I don't know.
Nico, what is your technique for a good subscribe push?
Thanks, Matt.
What is?
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
So I was about
wanted to know.
I was going
to
tee myself up for that. Since
happy to help.
A good subscribe push.
So we have a saying, which is always content, right? So even a subscribe push needs to be entertaining. It needs to be a joke. It needs to be funny. charming, witty, whatever. You know, we've tried different things. We tried the really polite, like, consider subscribing, which is my favorite. Mm-hmm. You know, if I have to just shout it out, that's how I say it. I think that was Sam's idea, started that way. We did the whole, like, we looked at this channel statistics and 40% of you aren't subscribed. So that, like, that became a thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a thing. It's, we can't do it anymore.
No. Yeah, like, that's still seriously. We started it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
We were doing it for a few months, and then I started noticing, like, 5 or 6 months later, like, oh, wait, this is, like, a thing now.
Yeah, and of course, not what everybody hears, it loses its power. So a good subscribe push requires creativity, and you always need to be thinking about the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. What's the next version of the, hey, I looked at my channel statistics, mm-hmm. right?
Is it just screaming into your microphone as loud as possible? Just screaming
been
subscribe?
Been done.
Oh, how about whispering? Yeah.
ASMR subscribe pushes?
That has not been done as much.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
What if you write a whole song around it?
Oh, that would work really well.
Okay.
Vernon, I mean, this is effectively the exact same thing that I do with brand integrations. It's the exact same thing. Yeah. It's like, how can I talk about Squarespace this month?
You know,
just as a
constraints
cowboy.
Breed creativity, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. In the moment, like, he started explaining, like, you know, when you subscribe, it really helps the channel. Everyone's like, I don't care.
Right.
I mean, some people care. I'm not, you know, don't get me wrong.
Oh, I know. I know one. You could purposely get pulled over and film it. And when the cop comes up, you say,
consider subscribing
to my YouTube channel.
That would be a good one.
That's a good one. That would be a good one. And it only costs like $200.
Dude, $200 for a subscriber? And they're all cops?
You get your...
You just show how far you're willing to go to your audience, you know?
That's the Mr. Beast method.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not subscribed, you're not going to get the $10,000 that I'm going to hand out on the street.
You know, I am excited for the day when Corridor. Yeah, that's right. The Corridor. The main channel. The main channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, the main
channel. I'm excited for the day that Corridor hits 10 million subs.
Yeah. Coming. I think we're like 7 months out.
A little more than that, actually.
According to,
But theoretically, in 2023... big things.
Do you think that we would be at 10 million already if we would have combined the channels?
You know what? We could have combined the channels, but we would have lost a little bit of our souls. So
really?
I think so.
I don't
know. There's this like...
It's a gallery.
It's a gallery. Exactly.
It's a gallery.
Thank you, Sam. It's
the Corridor Channel's gallery where we hang the finest art.
Do they play the evening news at the theater? I don't think so.
Damn right.
No, they used to play... I mean, that's...
I mean, they used to.
They used to play clips of the war and stuff and update you before television was...
It's because they were unrefined
so...
filmmakers. Wow. Because the audiences didn't know any better.
Wow. Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, no, but that's the thing. It's like, it is different. You know, there's a lot of videos on the Crew Channel. And it's hard to sort through all that stuff, you know, if you want to see
but it's
a certain
body of work.
It's
called a playlist and then posting the playlist on the homepage.
Playlists?
Playlists?
I have noticed.
Playoffs?
Yo, we're just trying to win a game. Every time I'm on YouTube and I see it tries to promote a playlist, I'm like, oh, what? I don't want to click on that playlist. I want to know what I'm getting. Show me one video, please.
Well, that's interesting.
I have a lot of anecdotal experience
of click
with
on
YouTube
playlists as well. Playlists can be good.
Playlists.
We're averaging like 55,000 subscribers a month on Corridor Crew, and on Corridor. Any guesses?
I think it's 10,000. About the same.
About the same.
About the same.
About the same. Surprise. A little bit less.
Yeah.
Less.
Look at that. Look at us just casually getting 55
the
grand.
The channel didn't post stuff
subs.
On anymore.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, some of those videos, like the Spider-Man video, almost has 20 million views.
Yeah.
So
all I
can
say
help.
Is, like, I guess Corridor Crew and Corridor, they're doing just fine as two separate individual channels.
Yeah. It seems
living
like
their best life.
It seems like comments, too, I've noticed.
Your gallery is still pristine. We've
scrubbed, we've mopped the floors, the white, glossy floors of this empty gallery.
We must go into the metadata with white gloves.
Yes.
We only let the finest of subscribers on the Corridor.
Yeah, we've had to ban so many people.
Speaking of banning comments, like, what is YouTube? Get it together.
Yeah, seriously.
With the freaking sex doll like commenters.
It's
like
not, yeah, it's so easy to spot it. It's
dude,
like, how
it's
is
so easy?
How
have they not come up with
this?
An AI to do that?
And how is the system not like when I say remove a YouTube? users' comments, why is it not removing all that user's comments instantly?
Right.
Like, I get it. You have a, database. And like, but guys, yeah. Google returns search results instantly. You can scrub the comments on my video at least a few seconds
it's
after
so
I tell you to.
Simple, like for how to recognize it. It's,
Yeah.
They'll figure it out soon.
They already figured it out.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Remember when how long the reply girls thing was an issue?
Yeah, it was about 2 years.
They just literally copied and pasted all your comments,
all
keywords,
tags.
Yep. Yeah, and then just like take a picture of themselves with cleavage for the thumbnail.
Yep. Yeah. Wait, that's still a thing though.
No.
It's more refined now, but it wasn't as
blatantly. Now it's on TikTok.
Those are called React videos.
I've seen that.
Yeah, they're called those actual React videos.
Like they, everyone has turned that into a genre now.
Yeah. the YouTube algorithm was so easy to manipulate, you could literally just copy all the tags and paste them into your video, and it would show up as the number one.
Okay, yeah.
It'd be the number one most suggested video as the most related one.
Oh, boy.
Such naive trust YouTube had in people and using the tags correctly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were talking about comments, because the comments, they just like copy and paste other people's comments and just have like a big anime titty girl.
A bot just repeats it, reposts it.
And then like gets a couple other bots to thumbs up it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Great.
If you're one of the people out there doing those bot things, like...
Cut it out. Yeah,
if you're a bot.
Like, get...
I don't care if that's like, I need to make a living. No, you don't have to make a living.
Yeah, we're going
to
put you in Google jail.
I don't care what justification you have for it. Like... Come on.
Stop it.
Yeah. Stop scamming people. Stop.
What's with
people.
The amount of snake oil, like medical salesmen, like running ads on YouTube these days? Like YouTube, are you not like doing the most basic, like fact check filter?
No, there's too many people.
You're right.
There's more people who want to post ads than humans that can review them.
Man.
Like that's how it works.
Well,
like,
why
that's
why
on Facebook too. It's like,
no
way
you
can
report them.
You can
anything.
Advertise anything. Yeah. You'll get reported like after a few days of running your ads and stuff, but like,
so there's another thing that I noticed about ads, about Instagram ads. It's Facebook too, a little bit. I'm not on Facebook. But, and this is actually something I'd love to do a video about, if we can do like an R-rated version of this or something. The game, like the mobile game app ads, where they're all just like weird, like big-breasted women or strange things that are happening.
The slightly offensive AI mobile game.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes, this idea is something that I still would love to do at some point.
I would love to do
this. Because it's so funny.
Yeah.
And there's so much room to do whatever you want because the ads are literally that already. They're these just ridiculous things that don't represent the game at all.
Right.
But they're just like a way to clickbait you into downloading this stupid app that is... like a colors
thing
app.
They wouldn't do it if it didn't work.
Yeah.
That's the most mind-boggling thing.
You know, even I've done it several times just to confirm that the app does not actually represent what's being served to me.
It doesn't represent the giant
so
breasts that
they've
were served
got me
to in the
too.
Advertisement.
They got me on the giant breasts.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Algorithms. AI, man.
This is what I'm saying.
It's so funny, though.
That's what I'm saying about
it's
it.
It's so funny.
Just imagine an AI version of that soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't even need the game.
I can see that. Yeah. What you were talking about earlier, I could definitely see that. Just an algorithm just going wild.
Like, how can I get someone to click on something and it generates something custom for one person just to make you go boop? And you're like, shit.
Got me again.
Yeah. Got me.
Got me. Damn it.
Yeah. We're already there. It's too late.
Look up from your phones, people.
Yeah, stop listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably driving anyway. Let's be
honest. And then definitely don't look at your phones if you're driving.
Keep your eyes. All right, hey, you driving your car now. Keep your eyes on the road, please. Yep. All right.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe that would be a fun video, which is like trying to collect metadata from each other and make clickable. What's
that's
like
pretty funny.
Make the most clickable image for each person in the studio without their knowledge.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then present it to them.
That's very funny.
Let's do that.
And
there's
an invasion
like,
of privacy, but
I don't know how. Yeah, we go about it, but like that's kind of funny.
See which one they click on.
Yeah,
like everyone places bets. Like, all right, we're making these three images.
We do it like round robin style.
Everybody picks an image for like a person. Like, let's say we all make an image for you, Sam.
Right.
We don't know who made which image,
right?
And you have to pick your favorite.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we can see who like who's the best, who's the most in touch with the rest of the crew.
Yes. This is a great idea.
That's funny.
That's funny. So this is like the AI Dixit thing I was talking about a little bit too. Where,
sorry, it sounded like you said AI Dicks.
Dixit. No, deceit. I think
deceit?
It's pronounced
D-I-X-I-T.
Deceit.
Dixit.
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 D-E-X-I-T. Dexit.
D-I-X-I-T. It's a French word apparently.
Dixit.
What are you talking about right now,
dude? It's a subjective art game. It's a subjective D-I-X-I-T. It's a subjective art game. You get a huge deck of cards with abstract art on them.
You know, dick shit. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah. The game's simple.
I think that was a mobile game ad.
The game's simple. You have a bunch of these abstract art cards in your hand, and then you take one and you give everyone a prompt, basically. A prompt that you think represents the image you see on that card.
Okay.
You put it face down so no one can see what your original intention is. Mm-hmm. And then they all draw from their own hands a card they feel like could trick everyone else into thinking represents that theme or prompt even better.
Do you have 10 cards?
Yeah, I don't know. You have a bunch of cards.
Okay.
That's fun.
But basically, that's the concept. So all you're doing is just trying to trick people with art.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's super funny.
But yeah, the AI version of that would be fun. And maybe this is kind of like that still too. There's got to be a thing in there.
Yeah, that's really funny. One of those ideas will work.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
It'll be really funny.
Master videos, basically.
All right, then. Sam, do you want to play us out?
Oh, shit.
On the baritone.
Oh, shit. What chords are you playing? Do you know?
It's not properly in tune.
Neither is this.
It's generally in G.
G? Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Go and buy me a motorcycle. Wrap a pretty little frame around a telephone pole. Think I'll buy me a motorcycle. Thanks for watching, everybody. I hope you're having a great day, and we'll see you next week.
Are you going to crash a motorcycle?
That's a song.
Oh, okay.
It's just an old song.
Making sure.
We can talk if you need to.
No, it's just a song.